Father, I thank you, Lord. As always, we are here again in your presence. We are here among the brethren to declare the word of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you because the entrance of that word gives light. And it brings understanding. Now let that light shine. For the Lord who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the beginning, he's also with us today. Now let that light shine from the word of God into our hearts and bring encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to talk briefly about the full assurance of faith and no wavering. Amen. You know, see, it's still along the same series. We just bring it one angle, one after the other. I mean, this whole month, I'm dealing on the subject of believing, because this is the driving force behind what God has promised for us this year, in order for us to be able to attain. That's why I keep coming with these messages. So today, our text is going to be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I want to just read a few verses in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start from about verse 19 or so. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, which we know is Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Well, so that's what we've been doing. That's what we continue to do. And there are many things in this short text that bring out, you know, good lessons. First things first, we need to have boldness when we come before the Lord. Not a beggarly attitude, but boldness because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed for us. Hallelujah. Well, if our hearts condemn us, then we need to cleanse our hearts by confessing our sins and trusting that not only is he faithful to forgive us our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we come boldly to enter into the holiest. We're not stopping at the outer court, you know, not even the holy place is good enough. We're going to the most holy place. We're going beyond every veil. Hallelujah. We're not stopping anywhere. 30-fold is not good enough. Outer court is 30-fold. Inner court or holy place is 60-fold at best. But in that most holy place, that's where you get 100-fold, because it comes from full concentration and full union with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, because we know we have a high priest over the house of God. Now, who's that high priest? None other than Jesus Christ himself, the mediator between God and man. We don't need any other priest. Jesus himself is the high priest over the house of God. We ourselves are also priests, subordinate priests under him. Now, we must draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What does that mean? Well, it implies that, you know, sometimes, you know, inside our heart, it may not be completely upon the Lord. You know, the Bible says that, look, these people, they draw near with unto me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. You know, so that's not a good place. Put your heart fully upon the Lord and have full assurance, not half assurance, not, well, maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. You know, maybe one day we're believing and the next day we're not. You know, those are wavering. That's not a full assurance. And then we need to have our hearts, you know, sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, don't let anything be in your heart that will taint your believing. And don't let any negative thing be in there that will corrupt your walking with God. Have our bodies also washed with pure water, the washing of regeneration. And the water is the word of God. Now let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. What is the profession of your faith? Well, that's what you profess. That's what you witness. That's what you confess. You know, that's your testimony. Like when you go to a court of law and you give a testimony, say, is it your testimony that such and such? You know, they may even bring expert witnesses and various people to testify. And they may bring somebody up, you know, to testify on the witness stand. You have to testify. It's a profession of faith. Well, in the next few days, perhaps even as early as tomorrow, I don't know, I'm just asking the Lord to see, I am going to teach people on how to become a subject matter expert on faith. That's right. Not today, but, you know, a subject matter expert on faith. It's not braggadocious. It's just the way it is. I mean, we are, you know, some people are subject matter experts on various things, you know, but we ought to be professionals also in our faith, not guesswork, you know. So, I mean, we have a lot of professionals in this room. We have medical professionals. We even have doctors here on this stage. We have, you know, different people and so forth. We have people in technology. We have people in various practices. We are professionals. What they do, they know exactly what they do. And why is it that when it comes to our faith, then we do anyhow, you know? So we're going to establish that in the early going this year. You must become a professional in your faith. You become a subject matter expert on the subject of faith. That's right. You know how to do it. You know how to believe God. That's what we're leading on to, you know. So, and that'll be coming maybe tomorrow. But today I want to just talk about full assurance of faith, because you know the person who has promised. What does it say about him? It said he is faithful who has promised. Now, who is that person that promised? Well, God is the one that promised. I mean, throughout the scriptures, we are reminded, and many of the leaders in their times, in the Old Testament, they would remind people that the Lord has been good, and nothing has been failed, and so forth. Moses would remind people, Joshua would remind people, even Solomon would remind people. Now let's read a couple of those reminders. Here's one in Joshua 21 and verse 45, you know, how he reminded the people. And here's what he said. He said, look, starting from verse 44, he said, the Lord gave them rest around about, according to all that is square unto their fathers. There stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Their heart not failed. Their failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass because God is faithful. So nothing failed of all the things that God has said. I mean, and it was a reminder, you know, because sometimes people forget, you know, and they think the Lord is slack concerning his promises. No, God's not slack concerning his promises, you know, but sometimes we have need of patience. And here is King Solomon, you know, in the dedication of the temple, you know, and etc. And he says, look, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, it's going to say pretty much the same thing. It says, blessed be the Lord that are giving rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. It's quoting exactly the same thing that's in Joshua. You know, they had not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses. You know, all came to pass. You know, so God is faithful because he's the one that promised. We need to keep our eyes on the promise and have a full assurance. Get rid of anything that may be in your heart and may cause your heart to waver. Now, he that wavereth is like a wind, I mean, tossed, you know, up and down, you know. It's a wave of the sea, tossed up and down by the wind. Let not that man think that he will get anything from the Lord. You know, if you waver up and down, you might as well just go sit down somewhere. And you're not getting anything from the Lord. It's what James says. You know, so a double-minded man, he said, is unstable in all his ways. When you're asking something from the Lord, according to James chapter 1, verse 6, ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. So today I'm talking about full assurance of faith and nothing wavering. We don't want to waver. Why? Because God is faithful who has promised. And if you do waver, guess what he says in James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Any person that wavers, let them not think they shall receive anything from the Lord. Because a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Now, we don't want to be unstable, and we don't want to be double-minded. You know, cleanse your hearts and have full assurance, not half assurance, and not being double-minded. Okay, maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. That's double-mindedness. Let's have full assurance. Well, here are some other scriptures to help us, you know, along the way. When God promises a thing, praise the Lord, his promises are indeed yea and amen. Did not the scripture say exactly, you know, that the promises of God are yea and amen? If you think of the word yea, what does it really mean? You know, it means yes. If you think of the word amen, what does it really mean? Well, it means so let it be. So when the scripture says that his promises are yea and amen, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20, what does that mean? Well, let's read it together. You know, because, you know, Paul said, look, the word of God which we preached was not yo-yo, up and down, you know, wavering and stuff like that. You know, it was steady and it was steadfast. And he said, look, that which we have spoken to you, we are sure of it and it is steadfast. Here's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, he said, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, which was preached, let me read it from verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. So it's not one day yes and the next day no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, that word was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God, now that's all the promises of God, not some, but all the promises of God are in him, that's in Christ, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Praise the Lord. The promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God through us. Hallelujah. Now, he said, look, yea means it's yes. You know, sometimes you know how people say when you pray, maybe the answer will be sometimes maybe yes, sometimes it may be no, sometimes maybe perhaps, sometimes maybe not yet time, sometimes maybe wait, sometimes maybe this, sometimes maybe that. Well, not if it is based on a promise of God. You know, if you're praying for something that you're just praying about, maybe. But if it is based on a promise of God, it is always yes and amen. It's not today is yes, maybe tomorrow is no, maybe tomorrow yes, is the other day is perhaps, next day is maybe, another day is well, maybe wait. It's no such thing. If it is not based on the promise of God, then, you know, maybe it's yes, maybe it's no. We don't know. But if it is based on the promise of God, it is always yes, and it's always amen. The only thing that we got to do is believe. And or check out there may be some conditions to the promise. You know, that's where, you know, having your heart cleansed comes from. Making sure that you are in alignment with whatever condition goes along with the promise. For instance, in Exodus chapter 15 and 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, there's a few premises that he gives before that promise. He said, well, if you will obey the voice of the Lord indeed, you know, I mean, keep my commandments, do that which is right in my sight. About four different things talks about in that verse, and then drops down and says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, so if to lay claim to the Lord that healeth thee, well, we got to also do these four things that he has talked about. But let's take a quick look. He said, look, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's number one. And if you do that which is right in his sight, that's number two. And if you will give ear to his commandments, that's number three. These things are all the same. If you will keep his statutes, number four, then I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, this is this kind of prayer that Hezekiah prayed. He said, Lord, you know, I have done that which is right in thy sight. You know, I have kept your commandments. You know, I have cut down the high groves and the different places, and I have walked with a perfect heart before the Lord. You know, I mean, pray those prayers. Those are the conditions. And then he put forth his case. He said, you are the Lord that healed me, so I'm not going to die. Because I've done these things which you said we should do in order to receive your healing. It's that simple. Look, it's a formula and it works. There is no gainsaying about it. When there is a promise, this is why I always tell people, find the promise first in the Bible and check to see if there's anything that the Lord puts around that promise. There are some unconditional promises, regardless. But then again, there are some promises that carry some conditions. And if a promise carries some conditions, then you must do and fulfill those conditions in order to expect the fulfillment of that particular promise. It's that simple. But if you keep those conditions, then his promises are always yea and amen. There's no such thing about maybe or perhaps. It's not in the scriptures. His promises are yea and amen. And amen means so be it. Let it be so. Hallelujah. And that's how the word of God actually operates. The word of God has power within itself to sustain itself. You know, the word of God doesn't need any help. All you need to do is voice it out. It is within itself. It has the power to sustain itself. That's why it says, when I speak my word, it will not return void. Inside the word itself, that word itself carries the power to sustain itself. Once God says it, that's it. The done deal. You know, so the only things that can block the word of God sometimes is we ourselves, either through having a conscience that is full of offense, having doubt and wavering in our hearts, or having, you know, not a pure heart and no clean hands, all these things that the Bible says, you know, but if you do your part, then the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Now, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. That's where it starts. But is it settled in our hearts? Now, that's the question. It's not about whether the word of God can do what it says it will do. We know it will. And it's already settled in the heavens. But is it settled in your heart? Praise the Lord. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Well, so let it also be settled in my heart. Settled in your heart means full assurance of faith. It's settled. There's no gainsaying. There's no doubting it. There's no reasoning it. You know, reason is one of the most subtle things that will get us off track when we are believing God. It's reasoning. Well, you know, look, I'm getting old. I can't have pleasure anymore. The Lord has promised this thing. We have been waiting for many years. Look at me. I'm an old woman already. You know, when yet is this thing going to happen? So why don't you go into my maid? Reasoning is a very subtle thing. When we begin to reason based on our circumstances or things that we see with our natural senses, that's not having a full assurance of faith. You know, faith is a walks in a realm that's outside of our physical senses. It's in its own realm. You know, so walking with full assurance of faith and no wavering is for us to know that God is faithful who has promised. His word is forever settled in heaven. Well, then let it also be settled in our hearts and enforce what God has already pronounced. You know, that's how we do it. But there's some other things that can help us along the way. You know, in as much as there are things that can distract us, there are also things that can help us. Here are some of the things in that same text that we read. You know, a lesson is given on some of the things that can help us. It's right there. Let's take a look at it again. You see? Now, number one, you hold fast your profession without wavering, because you know that God has promised. And like I said, I will show people how to become professionals at this word of faith, to become what we call an SME, a subject matter expert. But it also says, let us consider one another. See, so that's a another thing that can help us as we encourage one another, you know, to provoke you to keep on believing, which is what we are doing here when we declare the word of God. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That's another thing that can help. When you attend fellowship and you hear the word of God, it can help, you know. But he cautions us here that there are some people, their manner is to forsake the assembly of the saints. But he said, don't do that, but exhort one another daily. Yeah, this thing can help. That's what we've been doing. And we thank God we've received many public testimonies here on this platform that since people have been coming, their faith is helped and they are doing better with their walking with God. Well, that's what it's all about. So these are things that can help us in our walk with faith. Or our walk or our journey with faith. When God promises something, we need to have our eyes on the promise. And you need to be sure that the Lord who promised has the capacity to do it. Now, these are simple elements of faith, but you'll be surprised how many times we struggle with these things. I mean, even though the best of us, I mean, look at the children of Israel. They have seen incredible miracles. They've seen all the power of God in Egypt. I mean, they know that God can do all these things. They've even seen him part the Red Sea, you know, and everything else. They've seen how, you know, he divided, you know, Egypt from Goshen and Goshen from Egypt. They've seen how, you know, God called out all kinds of destructive things against Egypt, but yet they themselves were safe. They've seen the angel of destruction pass over the land, and they are, everyone in their house that had the lamb's blood on their doorposts were saved. They've seen all those things. They've seen the parting of the Red Sea. And yet, any small thing that comes up again, like, well, we find water, or the water is bitter, they grumble. Their hearts go back to Egypt. You'll be surprised, you know, how quickly people forget, you know, the power of God and the goodness of God according to his promises. That's why we must continue to exhort one another daily while it is called today. You know, that's what the scripture says. As long as it is called today, let us continue to exhort one another. Now, because, you know, Bible says, because iniquity will abound all around us, the love of many will wax cold. You know, so we need to keep exhorting one another daily. Now, let me give us some illustrations which I've used in the past. And this is where you will determine whether you have a full assurance of faith or otherwise. It's a simple test. When you see, I actually did this one time in real, for real, in an assembly. You know, I held up a glass of water that had water about halfway. And I asked, you know, what do you see? You know, now, some people will see a half empty glass of water. Some people will see a half full glass of water. It's the same thing. They just see it in different ways. You know, the one person that sees a half empty glass of water, well, people say they are pessimists. You know, they actually, it's almost like seeing the negative side of the thing. Why do you think it's half empty? Why not half full? You know, another person sees the same thing as half full. Well, they're optimists because they think the water level is rising. The other one that sees it half empty, unconsciously, they are admitting that the water level is diminishing. Because when you say it's half empty, you are zooming unconsciously and admitting unconsciously that the water is diminishing. Now, when you see it as half full, you're also subconsciously admitting that the water level is rising. But they're looking at the same thing. You know, you look at a bunch of roses that are picked out fresh. They always have thorns with them. That's how God put it out there, that the thing will protect itself. And somebody will see the roses. Another person will see the thorns. They're looking at the same thing. But what do you see? The one that has a full assurance of faith, they'll see past all the thorns. They'll see the roses. Hallelujah. Now, Moses sent out a bunch of people, one from each tribe, go spy out the land. They saw the same thing, but they gave different report. The ones that had full assurance of faith, they said, well, we are able to go up and take the land. We don't care about the giants. They didn't even talk about the giants. You know, they talked about, you know, what the Lord can do. Now, the other people that saw the same thing, they even brought the fruit of the land. They plucked the fruit. They plucked it in their hands. Yet, their report was about the difficulties, the challenges, and the giants. that are on the way and why, and then they come up with all kinds of reasons why they can't do it, you know. But when you have a full assurance of faith, you will see past all those things. And what you will see will be the ability of the Lord to get in there and do this thing, rather than all the giants and all the thorns and all this stuff, you know. Can you see what the Holy Spirit sees? Some people, all they see is bitter waters. But can you see the sweetness? Some people, all they see is crookedness. But can you see the straight paths? You know, the Lord said, well, make straight paths for your feet. Don't let the lame be turned out of the way. You know, the God's messengers in the heavenlies that carry out God's unctions, they love to report some good stuff. Now, you know, occasionally they will report evil when there's judgment coming. But they reported evil concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God said, well, I got to go check it out. So, but most of the time, concerning you especially, what they do report, we saw it in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 11. They went forth and came back and said, well, all is at rest. Well, but I know that all is not at rest. You know, all is never at rest. But yet they report that all is at rest. Same thing in Isaiah chapter 6. These seraphims, they're going back and forth and saying the whole earth is full of the glory of God. The whole earth is not full of the glory of God. There's a lot of wickedness everywhere. But that's what they see. But that's the realm in which they operate. You know, so you can see all the evil, or you can see the glory of God. I mean, which one will you see? You know, so, you know, my posture is see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil, think no evil. You know, speak the goodness of the Lord. My eyes have seen, my ears have heard, my mouth shall speak of the goodness of God. That's right. You know, let your eyes see positive things. You know, let your ears see and hear positive things. You know, hear no evil and see no evil. It's actually possible, you know, for yourself. You may see evil afar off on somebody else, but not for you. Psalm 91 says, well, you may hear the evil, but it's not for you. You just see it afar off. You see it on the news, but it's not coming near you. Praise the Lord. But, you know, if every day in our hearts, we are not assured of the faithfulness of God, then we'll have a doubt in mind. And if also we entertain fear, then evil might come upon us. In the book of Job, chapter 3 and verse 25, Job said, well, the thing that I've greatly feared has come upon me. Well, the whole time that he was praying for his children, that was a good thing. But in his heart, he was afraid, you know, that evil might befall them. Well, don't entertain that. If you entertain it, it might actually come to pass. But he entertained it, because he said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. You know, so, you know, God is able to keep us from falling. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is able. Yes, there's gross darkness in the world and it will increase, but the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. There's always a difference. The Lord said, look, I will make a differentiation between my people and Egypt. And he did. Praise God. And so there is always a difference. But in our hearts, we must have full assurance of faith. That's right. We must not waver in the thing. You know, there was a lesson given about Abraham, how he staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger. He knew what God promised, you know, although he allowed himself to be persuaded by his wife, you know. I mean, sometimes maybe through haggling and so, I mean, you know, she just hassled him a lot. So finally, you know, he just gave in. But in his own mind, he was steadfast. So we must remain steadfast with the promise of God. Now, what is the promise that God has given us? What was the promise he gave us last year? What is the promise that he has given us this year? Well, Search out those promises and keep your eyes on the promise and have full assurance of it. I've been hearing some, remarkable declarations in this room. I mean, people who are sold out for the word of God, radical faith, they put it out there. Just believe God. Hallelujah. And Jesus loves that kind of faith. If you have tremendous faith, Jesus said, look, if you can only believe, Mark 9:23, I say it all the time, and I'm going to say it all the time through this year. If you can only believe, all things are possible to you when you believe. It's that simple. Hallelujah. Now, but do you believe? That's the question. Are you still believing? That's the question. Do you have full assurance of faith in your heart? Or some part of your heart believing and some part of it doubting? Well, that's called wavering. And that's not going to work. How does wavering work, actually? Well, here's how it works. Your name is Peter. You see Jesus walking on the water. And you say, Lord, is that you? If it is you, bid me come. And the Lord said, it is me. Come. And then you step out of the boat, you step on the water, and you are coming to the Lord. And your eyes are upon Jesus. And that's how you do it. But this is how wavering happens. You take your eyes off of the Lord, and then you look around and see all the wind being boisterous. You can read that story in Matthew 14. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come thee on the water. Come unto thee. Matthew 14 and verse 28. And the Lord said, yeah, of course, come. It's that simple. You ask, you shall receive. Well, come. And so Peter, he came down out of the ship and he walked on the water. Praise the Lord. Now, people say that Peter doubted. No, Peter had faith. He's done something that you've never done. Have you ever walked on water? How many steps have you taken? I have never done it. So Peter did a whole lot more than I did. Even if it was 10 steps he took, he's done a whole lot more than the rest of the other disciples, And he's done a whole lot more than us. He did take a few steps toward Jesus, but the Bible says he walked underwater to go to Jesus. He actually did. Hallelujah. And he walked a few feet. I don't know how many steps. But then he saw that the waves were boisterous. The wind was boisterous. Come on, Peter. The wind was boisterous the whole time. But keep your eyes on the Christ and walk straight towards him. Don't look to the wind, Don't look to the wind. Ecclesiastes 11, will tell you, he that observeth the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds and these things, you won't reap either. You say, oh, it's going to be windy today. Oh, it's cloudy and so forth. And you're not going to step out and do what you need to do. When you step out, keep your eyes on the Christ. Never mind the boisterous wind and all these things, Because if the clouds be full of rain, they will empty themselves upon the earth. That's what clouds do. There's nothing magical or surprising or should be frightening about that. You can read it in Ecclesiastes 3, and 4. 11 verses 3 and 4. If the clouds be full of rain, they will empty themselves upon the earth. That's what they do. And if the tree falls toward the south, wherever it falls, that's where it will be. So those things happen. What's your problem with that? But if you are looking to see whether the clouds are full, whether the wind is blowing and the tree is going to fall, then you are not going to do anything. That's what he's saying. So if you observe the wind, you will not sow. If you regard the clouds, you will not reap. You will start to sink when you begin to observe the wind that's boisterous around you. That's how wavering works. You take your eyes off the promise for just a minute. Do you know that many people have gotten into ghastly auto accidents because they took their eyes off the road for just a few seconds? Some years ago, I watched a commercial I was trying to show people how, you know, to avoid accidents that can be caused by distractions, you know, distractions. And I even saw someone that got into a ghastly accident because they had a cup of coffee, their morning cup of coffee. They stopped at, you know, I don't know, Starbucks or whatever, grab their coffee and put it, you know, somewhere, you know, in their car or truck, and they're going. And something happened. They, you know, turned the corner or something, and the cup of coffee is about to fall. And they reach out to grab it, took their eyes off the road for just a second, and it got to an accident. You know, I watched a movie a long time ago. I saw someone that got into a ghastly accident. They didn't have the GPS, so they had a map. And I remember when I used to travel over the country in the days before I had GPS, I used to have this thing called MapQuest. I would go to MapQuest and print the map and put it on the seat beside me, you know, and I didn't have the voice guided, you know, directions back in the day. And I would drive for a little bit, and then I would look at the map and so on. I mean, look at the directions, you know. And this person that was in this truck, they were driving, and they had their windows open, and the wind blew the map, you know, and they reached out to try to grab the map, and they swerved off the road and got into a nasty crash. I put them in a wheelchair. I took their eyes off the road for just a minute. And that's a lesson to all of us here. You know, keep your hands on the wheel and keep your eyes on the road. Don't be texting and driving and all these things. You know, that's just one moment of distraction can cause a ghastly accident and a whole life of regret. Well, in spiritual things, it's the same way. Keep your eyes on the Christ, which is the Word, a word of promise. Yesterday we read where it says, and his name is called the Word of God. Keep your eyes on the Word of promise. Don't look to see whether something is going on. Don't be distracted by that something. In a moment, you can start to sing. Peter was distracted, took his eyes off the Christ, looked around, said, I can't walk on water with all these waves. And then he started to drown. He was walking on water. So that's how wavering comes. When you take your eyes off the promise and you look at the circumstances, or you look at whatever is around, you know, it's like, look, you're believing God for the word of healing, you know, but then you look at the report that they gave you, or you go by your feeling in your body, and you say, well, you know, and then you're believing God for healing, but you're doing the opposite, acting like you are sick because you are looking at those things. Jesus used to tell them, get out of bed, take up your bed and walk. Act like you are healed. Praise God. And even Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, you know, when they saw that lame man there, Peter said, look, silver and gold have I not, and all that. When he, you know, wanted to heal the guy, he didn't leave him like that. He took him up by the hand, pulled him up, you know, get up already. You got to act like it, you know. So while we are believing God, we got to act what we are believing. And don't allow wavering to come in. Wavering will come in when we take our mind and our eyes off the promise and we start to look within or around. And then that means we're not having full assurance of faith. Hallelujah. The other day I said faith is fully, an acronym for faith. F-A-I-T-H can be fully and intentionally trusting him. F-I-T-H. You've got to fully, that's what we're talking about today, full assurance of faith, you know, and use your profession of profession is something that you speak. You profess it. Bible says that Jesus Christ professed a good testimony before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and others. you know, and you know, what are you professing? How are you projecting your faith? Scripture says in Philippians 4 and 5, he said, look, let your moderation be known unto all men. Where do you stand on the subject matter? Let it be known. Don't hide it. Praise God. Communicate your values. Yeah, we say that. I say that also when we do life coaching or marriage coaching. Communicate your values to the other person. You know, and communicate your values. Let your moderation be known unto all men. You know, put it out there. Hallelujah. And be sold out on your faith. Be radical with your faith as well. You know, unusual faith brings uncommon results. You know, so faith is easy, but yet we find ourselves, you know, struggling with it. If you follow these simple steps, keep your eyes on the promise and focus on him who had promised, the one who said, come, bid you come on the water. Keep your eyes on him. Never mind the water. Never look around to the wind. Keep your eyes on the one who said, come. Hallelujah. And you continue. Walk on, Peter. You walk. But if you remove your eyes from the one that said, come, and look at the surroundings, then you begin to think, I can't walk on water. Then you start to sink. You know, so, you know, that's our lesson for today. Simple, but straight to the point. And also, don't hang around people that will drag your faith down. You know, that's why the scripture says, look, don't put your pearls before swine or jewels before dogs. Don't give that which is holy to dogs and cast not your pearls before swine. Because what happens? What does that really mean? Well, what it means is things that you keep, that you hold precious. You don't put it out. Whereas one scripture says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Well, if you hang out too much with people who are going to distract you, they may overcome you with their negativism. You know, so you have to balance things out. It's kind of like the scripture says, well, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Well, right after that, he said, well, sometimes you have to answer a fool like him. So lest he thinks, you know, he be conceited in his heart. You know, so you got to balance these things out. There are times in communicating your faith, like he says in Philemon chapter 6, I mean verse 6, one chapter. Well, you know, communication of your faith become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. Well, how do you communicate your faith? Let your moderation be known unto all men. This is where I stand on the subject matter, you know. But sometimes, you know, don't company with people who are going to try to drag your faith down. Don't ask anybody to pray with you that doesn't believe, because it's not going to work. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree, you got to find someone that has some faith and believes. You know, so don't, you know, cast your pearls before swine, because when you do, they will not only trample the thing down, they will also come and rend you, is what the Bible says. So don't do that. Guard the things that the Lord has given you. Don't let anything distract you. You can read Jesus' instructions. Jesus gave us many words of wisdom in those Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. In this one, Matthew 7, 6, he said, give that not which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and attack you. You know, so you got to be careful. Protect the vision. Don't let negativism come in there. Don't share it with people who are negative. Now, if you have people who are positive, that's great. You know, but, you know, get away from negativism, especially if people say, you can't do that. That's not possible. The moment you hear you can't do that or that's not possible, you better get away from that. You know, because it'll drain you and you'll be expending a lot of spiritual capital on just trying to fight that negativism. Get away from it. It's not conducive to your faith. It brings in wavering. You know, at the end, finally, that's all it will do. You know, you put hot water and cold water together. Eventually, that hot water is going to mellow out and become lukewarm. And it doesn't taste good. So don't let that stuff mix in there. Stay positive with the word of God. And if you find, you know, positive places that encourage you, then don't forsake that assembly, such as this room and your local church. If they are positive and encouraging, then don't forsake. But if you forsake and you are all alone, you might be an easier target for the devil. Because the devil is always prowling. He's on the prowl all the time, looking for whom he may devour. He wants, you know, ones that are away from the pack, those are easier, you know, for those animals in jungle that are trying to prey. When you see the lion prowling, you know, when you see the cougar, the jaguar, the tiger, all these things prowling and looking at those deer and so forth. When the deer, when they are in a pack, they don't know who to attack. They're just prowling. Crouching there, proudly waiting. But the moment one of those deer wanders away from the pack and leaves the pack and tries to go down to the stream by itself, it's dead meat. There's nothing that thing can do. It's dead meat, you know. But while they are in the pack, you know, it's like safety in numbers. He doesn't know who to attack. They all cluster together. But he's patiently waiting. You know, prowling, waiting, scouting the place, looking for the foolish one that will get away from the pack. And when that one gets away from the pack, it's over. So stay in fellowship. So important. Paul told them, stay in the boat. You got to stay in the ship. If you jump ship, you cannot be saved. You got to stay in the ship. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our lesson for today. Keep your eyes on the promise. Have your faith in your heart in full assurance. Don't give place for doubting words. Don't give place for discouraging words, distracting things. Get away from situations that try to distract you. But keep your eyes definitely on the promise, knowing that He is faithful who has promised. Well, what did He promise us for this year? Some will run, some might fly, others might even experience a quantum leap. What is a quantum leap then? Well, a sudden increase, you know, a sudden covering of a large distance or a sudden increase. All at once. You know, the disciples, one day they experienced a quantum leap. Jesus entered the boat, and the Bible said immediately the boat was on the other side. Well, and suddenly, when something happens suddenly beyond the natural means, you get a sudden increase that could not have been done or attained otherwise. Well, you know, that could be a quantum leap. It's a huge or sudden increase or huge or sudden advancement of something. And that's what we are believing God for. So keep on believing. We're only at the first, we're yet within the first couple of weeks of this month, which is the first month of the year. We're encouraging you to keep on believing. It promises to be a tremendous year already because the Lord said it. And his promises are yea and amen. Always yes. Never no or perhaps. You know, it's always yes and amen. I pray that the Lord will strengthen us in the inner man to continue to believe his word. Believing will be that driving force for us this year. And so I thank God for the privilege to stand and declare the word of God, to try to encourage the people every day. Don't be weary in the encouragement. Don't say I heard it before, because I know how the heart works. The heart of people go backwards many times, even though they've seen great things. I mean, you were great all day yesterday. You wake up today, suddenly you're just heavy for no reason, you know, and then you just feel down. Why? Why do people go this up and down stuff? You know, I mean, you were on the high yesterday. Why are you down today? Nothing has happened other than you went to bed. You know, but the enemy, he plays on our soul like that, you know. So, but you got to encourage yourself in the Lord, and you got to be strong in the Lord. You know, put the soul in his place. Grab a hold of the word of God in your spirit. Let Hebrews 4 and 12 work for you every day. It says that the word of God is a divider between the soul and the spirit. The soul is where the yo-yo, wavering, and all of that is. The spirit is what latches onto the word. The word is what's going to put the soul in its place. Separate the two. Hallelujah. And so have full assurance of faith. Whether it's illness you're facing, whether it's a change in your situation, we decreed a lot of things yesterday. You must have full assurance. Once you put it out there, leave it alone. You know, don't go say, is it happening? Just praise the Lord. And then if it's not happening soon enough, come back and declare the same thing. You know, but don't go and see, well, is it really happening? No, it will happen. Don't worry about it. When you plant seed, you don't go dig it up from the ground, see whether it's growing. But what do? Well, you're going to try to help it some other way. Clear the weed around it. Make sure it gets water. Make sure it gets sunlight. Well, that's what you do. Clear off any wavering. You know, make sure it gets more watering. That's the word. You know, give it some sunshine. That's a positive outlook. You know, and so forth. You know, smile. You know, it's like the sun. You know, smile and, you know, go about your business. Believe in God. You know, cause your head to be lifted up. Don't let your head be bowed down. You're a daughter of the King of Kings, for crying out loud. Son of the King of Kings. Bow down your head in shame. You know, just, you know, no, don't do that. Raise your head up. Hallelujah. And enjoy the beauty of the Lord. Let the gates be opened and let the King of Glory come on in. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for everyone listening in today. Our exhortation to the people of God this morning to walk a full assurance of faith in our heart. Nothing wavering and nothing doubting. For your promises are yea and amen. No matter how long it takes, the Bible says, wait for it, for it will not tarry long. And even though it seems like it is tarrying, well, keep on declaring, keep on believing, give the Lord no rest. And he will come through for you. Perhaps it's a test of will. What will you do when the promise seems to linger? We've covered this multiple times in this room. Let's keep on believing God. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so enter into the practice of praising the Lord, even ahead of the battle, which is what Jehoshaphat did. He put the praisers in front of those who are skilled in art of war. Well, why in the world would you put people with tambourines in front of the army? That's to demonstrate to us that, look, praising the Lord can clear the way to your victory. Hallelujah. So let's praise the Lord more. You know, and anytime that feeling of despondency, discouragement, disappointment comes in, switch to praising the Lord, repeating His word. And God will come through for us. He's going to do it. And we will stand at our post watching daily. The Lord said, look, I'm rising up daily and early, rising and sending a word of encouragement to you by this room. Therefore, you have no excuse. You are without excuse. None of us is without, you know, we're without excuse, because God is telling us every day, encouraging us every day to grow and walk in faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that everyone will be energized daily to keep on believing. Now let the clouds move back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let the sun shine. Spirit of joy and oil of gladness come upon the people. Hallelujah. You know, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in your hand. Glory to God. And keep a full assurance of faith in Jesus' name. Let us go forth with boldness, because we know we have a high priest over the house of God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.